All right. I call to order the Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, August 1st, 2023 at 6 o'clock. This meeting may also be viewed on Channel 20 and is available on live streaming on the city's website and on www.slow-span.org. Members of the public may provide public comment during the meeting by calling 805-321-6639, and the phone line is now open. Would you please all join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Tana, would you please call the roll?
Vice Chair Holden? Here. And Chair Halverson?
I'm here as well.
And let the record show that Commissioner Mann is not present.
That's correct. We will try to fill up some of these chairs with our new appointees. Would you like to please administer the oath?
Would you like to stand at the podium? We do. Together. You will repeat after me. I state your name. Do solemnly swear.
I, David Swift, do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the Constitution of the United States.
To the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter.
Very good. Congratulations. I think you get to come up here, don't you? Yeah. You don't show.
Yeah.
Are you going to do? All right, I guess I would like to welcome our two new commissioners. I hope you enjoy your time on the commission as much as I have so far. So, Ms. Rotana, would you please recall the roll?
Commissioner Hoffman?
Here.
Commissioner Swift?
Here.
Vice Chair Holden?
Here.
And Chair Halverson?
I am here as well.
And let the record show that Commissioner Mann is still not present.
At this time, the Planning Commission will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. The Commission should adopt the agenda as presented or revised. And if everyone has looked at the agenda proposed, I would like a motion to approve.
I move to approve the agenda.
And do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. We'll have a voice vote. All in favor of approving the agenda as submitted, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? All right, we have an agenda. We'll move on to the public communications portion of the meeting. Please call at area code 805-321-6639 if you would like to provide any public comment. During this time, the Commission will allow public communication. Any member of the public may address the Commission for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this Commission. The Commission will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the Commission cannot act on any items not on the agenda. So I will open to public comment. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to comment at this point? Seeing no one, is there anyone on the phone line who would like to comment?
No, there's not.
Very good. Then I will close public comment and move to the consent agenda. There are four items on the consent agenda. And for those of you who are new to the commission, when an item is on the consent agenda, it means that we do not discuss it or hear presentations from staff. We merely approve these items in bulk in one motion. So if during this time of the meeting, this meeting or in future meetings, if there's something in the consent calendar that you would like to move out so you could discuss it, make recommendations, what have you, this would be the time to make that request, and we would change what is in the consent agenda. So having said that, I will once again open it up to public comment and ask if there's any member of the public who wishes to address the commission on the items listed under the consent agenda. If so, please call in at 805-321-6639. And once again, I'll ask if there's any members of the public who would like to comment on the consent agenda. Seeing no one and seeing no phone line, folks, I will close to public comment and ask if there is a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Sure. I motion to approve the consent calendar.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
A second.
Very good. We'll do a voice vote. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Very good. Our consent agenda is approved. We move on now to the public hearing portion. One more time, as a reminder, if you'd like to call in for any of the items in the public hearing section, please call at 805-321-6639. Our first item tonight is development application 2322. The applicant is Wave Divisions Holding LLC, and Senior Planner Castillo has a presentation.
Good evening, commissioners. So before you is development application 2322. It's a use permit, coastal development permit, and a development permit for a new telecommunications facility. So there's a site photos of the site. It's currently vacant. It's located near the corner of South 4th and Farrell Road. It consists of two existing lots, as indicated in your staff report. This lot and generally this intersection has been vacant for quite some time. The applicant has approached city staff through the pre-application process to place a telecommunications facility on the site. Astound is the company, as you know, has been doing extensive work here in the city over the last year or so, providing broadband technologies to many residents and businesses throughout the city. So this application is in support of that endeavor, as well as expanding out into connecting the rest of the Central Coast with additional options for high-speed internet broadband just outside of Gower Beach, as well as continuing their rigorous investments here within the city. So the site is zoned CI, or Coastal Industrial. Its adjacent zones, or its adjacent street, is Farrell Road. There are some existing residences zoned what is known as Coastal Residential 2, or Medium Density Residential, that is across the street. But it is wholly surrounded by either existing industrial uses to the east and south, and of course, as mentioned, a vacant lot to the west. So the site plan, it is contained in your staff report. Just to walk you through this site here. So it consists of four buildings with the primary entry off of Farrell Road. The parking lot is located to the side of the future warehouse building, which is actually the largest building. And the applicant is proposing to take a phased approach for this. So the warehouse itself, which is the most prominent building, will actually sit at the front, is actually a part of the later portions of the development. These huts are located, they're known as huts 1, 2, and 3. They're similar in size. These are actually the bulk of the use on site. These huts include basic telecommunication servers, etc. The applicant is here tonight to describe what actually is inside of these, but they are prefabricated metal buildings built to California Building Code. And again, these are stepped away from many of the existing residences that are located to the north of the site. So as a matter of fact, the huts themselves, which are part of the phase one of the development, are located approximately 325 feet away from the nearest residence. And then landscaping is proposed along the frontage of Farrell Road and along the side here where you see the cursor. So the bulk of the project is construction of four prefabricated metal buildings that will contain servers and other networking data hub, ranging in size from 2,102 square feet to 2,340 square feet. And again, as I mentioned earlier, the construction of a prefabricated metal warehouse building of approximately 3,200 square feet for equipment storage, again, to be completed in a later phase with approximately 3 to 5 employees that would be manning that on site. The huts themselves that are sort of the server network, those will be unmanned, but eventually we'll have workers go in and out for basic maintenance purposes. The site also contains approximately 2,500 square feet of new landscaping, as mentioned, around the perimeter of the project, and then approximately 11,000 square feet of impervious parking and loading areas, 13 covered parking spaces, as well as the installation of curb, gutter, sidewalk along Farrell Road, as well as the required utility infrastructure improvements to connect the site, including water, sewer, gas, electrical, etc. What you see on the screen is the basic elevations. So again, the future warehouse facing the street is the most articulated building, consistent with our industrial design guidelines, and the huts towards the rear of the property. So as a part of our projects that are before you this evening, there are documents that we need to find consistency with. The first and foremost one is what's called the general plan. It's basically our development guidebook for future growth and development of the city that looks over about a 20 to 30 year horizon. While we look at the document for consistency, we do pluck out, as a part of these staff reports, elements that are pertinent to the approval of these. So in this is land use policy 11.1, which is industrial development, land use policy 11.4, clean industries, and land use policy 20.3, design objectives for industrial development. These are the three primary sort of land use policies that are within the general plan that are very pertinent in terms of, can we make a consistency finding with the general plan? As proposed, the site has a defined access from Farrell Road. The proposed service areas is located on the side of the building. There's no outdoor storage or work areas that are proposed. And then the proposed main entry has been emphasized at the street entry point with on-site landscaping. All those items that I just bulleted off are really a connection to 20.3, the design objectives. The clean industries, again, it looks for higher technology uses that are with that help infill our industrial areas. That's what this is. And then overall, 11.1, industrial development, is looking to develop and infill our industrial properties with these type of developments. So here we have a vacant piece of property that the applicant has purchased and procured and wishes to develop that. So based on our general plan, based on our review of the general plan, the proposed project does meet these pertinent policies. There are other documents that are included overall. The other one is what we call the industrial design guidelines. These guidelines were adopted back in 2019 to sort of steer new industrial development within the city. These are guidelines, while they're not standards, they are most certainly tenants to how we develop our industrial properties. And so as a part of the overall project review, we do also look at the industrial design guidelines and found that the proposed project is consistent with those guidelines. The other set of documents that we look towards is what's known as our development code or zoning ordinance, as well as the local coastal program. So the local coastal program is a document that's relevant to properties that are within the coastal zone. As mentioned earlier in the presentation, this property is located within the coastal zone, zone coastal industrial. And so the proposed project is consistent with the development code. It meets all the proposed requirements, including setbacks, height, lot coverage, landscaping, and parking. And then one caveat to note is the applicant is currently proposing new structures over the existing property lines. Now, there, have you noted in your staff report, there's one APN. As sort of a reminder, APN is just for tax assessment purposes, but doesn't necessarily mean there's one single property. There's actually two. So as a part of this resolution, the applicant will be seeking a reversion to acreage slash lot merger to merge the two lots together in order to construct the warehouse and the hut over these property lines. And again, we did look at whether or not the project is consistent with our local coastal program. It is located in what's known as Visual Area Resource 7. 7 is our industrial area, as noted in our local coastal plan. There's not much to it, as it's mainly predominantly industrial. But however, the area has not been identified as a visually sensitive area. And as a precursor to any development application, we do go on site and take a look at if there's any sort of potential for any significant or sensitive wildlife habitat, and none does exist on site. Because it is fallow, there's just basically your run-of-the-mill weeds, et cetera, that are on site. So it is prime and ready for development. As a part of our overall review, not only does the Community Development Department, which consists of both planning and building, review the applications, but also we run a concurrent review with our Public Works and Fire Department. Public Works has conditioned the project to be to include improvements, including curb, gutter, and sidewalk. Those are shown on your site plan and that were described earlier in the site plan portion of the presentation. Those on-site stormwater improvements, so the applicant is proposing a series of underground stormwater chambers to meet the required on-site retention requirements. And then the fire department did review the project and is requiring installation of fire sprinklers consistent with the California Fire Code, as well as a specialized system for the proposed hut. So the applicant will be working with our fire department as well as our building review team to ensure that the equipment, the valuable equipment that's stored inside these huts, if they try to minimize damage and use other types of fire suppression systems to minimize that type of damage to this equipment, that is consistent with the California Fire Code. So as with all projects that usually come before you as a commission, we have to do what's called an environmental review. That's typically under the purview of what's called CEQA, or the California Environmental Quality Act. So there are three flavors to the California Environmental Quality Act. Typically, the larger scale is what's known as an EIR. The smaller scale is known as a mitigated neg deck, or just a negative declaration. It's just a notch below the EIR. And the last one is these category exemptions. So these are exemptions that the state has identified as projects that may more than likely not be significant to the environment, but there are a couple things in a couple categories that we need to make sure it fits in. In this instance, the proposed project does qualify what's known as a Class 3 new construction CEQA exemption, and so that exempts new commercial and industrial infill development up to and under 10,000 square feet. So the findings for the CEQA exemption are included in your resolution this evening. So based on the staff report and based on the analysis completed by city staff, we are recommending that the Planning Commission adopt resolution to approve development application 2322 for a use permit, a development permit, a coastal development permit, and a lot merger to construct four new industrial buildings totaling 9,780 square feet. And with that, I will conclude staff's presentation and open up to commissioners for any questions that they may have on this application this evening.
Very good. Thank you. Do the commissioners have any questions for staff at this point? No? I see none. So we will open it up to public comment. And I would invite the applicant to come first.
Good evening. Am I on? Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Grover Beach Planning Commission. My name is Craig Smith. I'm a consulting architect to the architect of record that developed this project, Hunter Smith Architecture. We're glad to be here. We're glad to be in front of you tonight and finally get to the point to have you look at it and hopefully approve it. Before I start and comment on the staff report, I'd like to reach out and thank staff for all their help and assistance. It's always something that you, an architect, always looks for and wants, and that's a team effort, and you definitely have it in this city. I just want the record to show that. So,
thank you. They appreciate it. They hear it all the time, but they appreciate it.
I know. It'll go to their head. No, I'm teasing. We have reviewed the staff report. We've reviewed the resolution, its contents, the conditions of approval, of course. We are in agreement to those conditions of approval. And we are aligning with staff and hopeful that you will approve, or we're recommending that approval this evening. If there's any questions you have, I'd be more than glad to answer them, if there's anything specific or generally. If there is any public comment tonight, I would like to have an opportunity to rebut or to have a follow-up with it if it's possible. But other than that, we're in complete agreement with the prepared staff report and the conditions of approval.
Very good. Are there any questions of the applicant at this point?
No.
I do.
Please.
Can you tell us what's in the huts?
I knew you'd ask me that. No. These are equipment. They're prefabricated. They're actually made in France. They're used by a lot of different equipment-based type establishments. They're the individual pieces of equipment for the communication distribution. There's, if you look, I think it's in your package, there's a floor plan, and they're broken down into compartments. And it's a basically a relay system, a storage system, computer system. It's all equipment, and it's for that benefit of the fiber optic communication base. Really very complicated, and it's all condensed. It comes ready, comes to the site, ready to lock and load, which is kind of good and very convenient. It has been used in other locations in a similar manner, and the equipment can vary. It can vary based on the distance from the primary source. It can vary on the load and a variety of other options. It's a big computer, you know, for lack of anything else. There will be no occupants. It's strictly an equipment-based containment.
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Anybody else have a question? No, I just one thing occurred to me. We talked about fire suppression. Is there any active fire suppression, a halon system or something like that?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. And I'm glad you asked that, Dave. Working with Five Cities that I work with quite often. And so the ability to be compliant with fire suppression, we can't use a watered fire sprinkler system. So what is used is what they call a dry system. Mm-hmm. Dry system is just that. It's a condensed powder compressed in the event of a fire. It looks just like a regular sprinkler system, but it shoots that powder spray in lieu of water. And that is what is acceptable. It's an NFPA 13 D and E system to get the technical into the report or into the minutes. But I've already reviewed that with Five Cities, and they're okay with that. So when we design that by a shop drawing, that'll go to them for the finite check.
Right. Okay. Any other questions, guys? No? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Sure. Is there anybody from the public who would like to speak on this issue? Please state your name and your
good evening. My name is Joshua Vasquez. Yes. Hello, Chair and Commissioner and Vice Chair. The only question we have, my wife and I, we live right across the street from the new development, and we want to know maybe a little bit more. You could tell us, like, are the huts going to be running, like, all night? And, you know, when is it going to start building? Because, like, those lots have been vacant. You know, we're right across the street, 557 Farrell Road, and we've lived there for 20 years. And then my wife's mother, her dad passed away, but they live right on the corner of 6th and Farrell. So we just, you know, is it safe? And, you know, I mean, we like new developments that come in, and, you know, that thing's been empty for a lot of years. So we just wanted, maybe you could give us a little feedback, you know, is it safe, you know?
Sure.
And, you know, or is it going to be running all night, you know? And yeah, just some questions like that. And we heard a lot. I mean, I did the QR code and saw the plans and everything, what the development was going to be. But if he could answer maybe a couple of those.
Sure.
All right.
Thank you for your comments.
Yeah.
So, yeah, please, if you could return. And I had the same concern as you did, sir. I asked about the sound.
Yeah, I got your
issue.
Email, Dave. And
yeah,
let me be very frank. They're big computers. There's no generated equipment noise. There's not going to be any running equipment. The only noise that's going to be generated will be the individual wall-mounted AC units. And those actually are in a redundant housing. So it's like, you know, you see an air conditioner in a window, and
Mr.
then they'll
Smith?
Have a housing around it.
Can
and
you direct
if you
your
could speak,
comments?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That way the microphone can
grew
up, too. Yeah.
And the other thing will be there's a diesel generator inside, but that is also housed separately, meaning that it's got its own housing. And then there's the insulated envelope of the pre-manufactured hut. So let me give you some decibel ratings. The actual unit that'll be the smaller coolant units are about a 62 to 68 decibel level. That's just very low. It's a low energy type system. The diesel generator will be up around the 76 to 78 decibels. Let me give you some comparisons. And by the way, the city of Grover Beach has a sound ordinance. And if you go to your table 704, I don't know why I know this off the top of my head because I probably looked at it before the meeting in case you asked the question. If you look at that ordinance, you'll see the breakdown of what higher a bus going by is a three-digit decibel. A chainsaw cutting a tree down is up there in the 140 to 150 decibel range. But the noise level will be very, very small, very, very slight, and no different than, again, AC units in a window in a residence. So there'll be no generated machinery noise at all.
Right, and the diesels would really only kick in the event of a power outage, which
that's correct.
Fortunately, at least in my house, we have those very rarely and for very short periods of time. So
yeah, and let me go one step further. It's basically the diesel generators also have a battery backup, so that battery can run without. So it's really a lot of safeguards to minimize the noise factor as well as to maximize standby power. So really, no major pieces of equipment, nothing that would be normal truck traffic. Other than that, there'll be just one big computer and a big insulated building. And that's a sandwich wall system on those huts. It's metal on the inside as well as on the outside. It's about 6 inches thick and has a foam insulation. So high R rating for that benefit as well.
Okay, and to address the public concern about safety, there's no explosives, no fireworks.
No,
The only flammable thing might be the diesel fuel, I suppose.
And it's a very limited. We have to be careful of that because the way the building code works, you're only allowed to store so much fuel a certain distance from the property line, and we're outside of that distance for that regulation. I want to say it's 150 gallons, but don't quote me. It's in that ballpark, and that's within the unit itself. It's not outside. It's not a separate tank.
Okay.
So now I do have a question.
Please.
You mentioned battery backup.
Yeah.
And is that a large lithium battery backup bank for all the electronics?
That's a really good question, and I don't know. Other than it is, I believe it is. In all likelihood, it would be.
Is there any added fire risk because of that?
I this facility is a rated facility, and if you're familiar with rated assemblies, it has a one-hour rated envelope. So that's something that, again, is due to the fact of all the type of equipment and what would be otherwise the operational issues with regards to that equipment.
Okay. Any other questions? Uh-oh. If you can go ahead and take your seat, we have another member of the public who'd like to speak.
My pleasure.
You can stand aside. I have one question.
Hi, my name's Sherry Vasquez. I also live across the street, and that's my parents' house on the cross from where the building's going to be. My one question is, I heard that you said you merged both properties, and so I'm wondering, there is a business down the road on 4th Street that a lot of employees use that corner lot to park in the field area, and I'm just wondering if you're going to be taking that away. Are you going to be fencing it in? Because years ago, Grover Beach took away my parking in front of my home to put a bike lane, and so the only parking we have is across the street from our home, and I would hate to see that business, the employees of that business, take all that parking across the street from our home, and we have no parking for our own services. So I was just wondering if you're going to enclose that or you're going to leave it open for that access.
Do we know where she's talking?
Yeah, I believe if you look on the screen.
It's on the corner of 4th and Farrell.
Right. So yeah. That's this property that's sitting out here on the aerial. It's right here.
Okay.
That's not a part of the application this evening. So we are discussing the application that is here in the red outline where you see the laser pointer. Essentially, there's a property line that sits right there. That'll disappear. As far as parking, one of the benefits to this project is it actually provides, again, the public improvement of curb gutter sidewalk along the property frontage. So that property frontage is defined by where that red line is here on the top along Farrell. So essentially the applicant will be required to provide curb gutter sidewalk shoulder. It's a public space, so therefore one can technically park across the street. So that's as far as what the application before you this evening goes. City staff can't speak for if the property owner of that corner decides to fence off, et cetera. That'll be up to the property owner.
Sure. All right. Thank you. Any other comments, either from the applicant or the public?
I just wanted to note there's a lot going on this property that you should also, I believe it's in the staff report. We are also facilitating the city's monitoring groundwater facility. It's in the lower right-hand corner with the tanks and a variety of equipment. So we're working with city for that benefit of participating with that equal improvement. I just wanted to let you all know that that's happening. We're going to make it work.
All right. Thank you. All right. If there's no other comments from the public, I will bring it back to the commission and open up to discussion. Is there any discussion? Anybody wants to ask additional questions or provide an opinion? If not, then we will entertain a motion.
I move to approve the development application 2322 for the use permit, development permit, coastal development, and lot merger.
And the second part.
And to construct four new industrial buildings.
Yeah, the key part there is the lot merger. We have to get into the motion.
Oh, I said lot merger. But okay. Oh, that is.
You didn't say lot merger, but.
Oh, okay.
You want to do it
lot
again?
Lot merger.
Yeah. Sorry. Key part. Is that clear enough,
yes.
Staff?
Okay.
I'll second.
All right, it's moved and seconded. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Vice Chair Holden?
Yes.
Commissioner Swift?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoffman?
Yes.
And Chair Halverson?
Yes. Thank you. Motion passes. And we'll move on to the second item. It's development application 2321. Thank you. The applicant is David Pitts, and Assistant Planner Mesa has a presentation for us.
Thank you, Commissioner and Planning Commission and Chair. The proposed project site is located at 1536 West Grand Avenue within the existing shopping center commonly known as Grover Plaza. This is a photograph of the existing project suite and entrance. The suite has been vacant for approximately 3.5 years and is approximately 4,196 square feet. This property is zoned retail commercial, which requires a use permit for health fitness facilities that are greater than 3,000 square feet in the retail commercial zone. It is surrounded by retail commercial and other commercial developments to the west, north, and east. To the south, there are R3 properties with multifamily development and the public facility zone, which includes the county facilities. Within Grover Plaza, there's a total of 19 suites with a mix of retail, food, a church, massage business, dentist, two other fitness facilities, and four vacant suites, including 1536 West Grand Avenue. The proposed health fitness facility will support local youth and adult athletes with one-on-one and group fitness and performance training with up to 15 clients present at any one time. The emphasis will be on training youth athletes with the majority of the proposed operating hours outside of the peak hours of the other businesses within the complex. And it is also assumed that the mode of transportation will be via carpool or drop off and pick up by the youth athletes' parents. The Grover Plaza Shopping Center maintains a shared parking agreement with the McDonald's site for a total of 145 spaces. A total of 135 parking spaces is required for the complex based on a parking calculation, including the proposed business and accounting for the other vacant units within the complex. The project is consistent with the general plan policy for small businesses, which states that the city should encourage establishments of small businesses. And for the development code, the project is consistent with the purpose and intent of the retail commercial zone, which states that the purpose of the zone being appropriate for auto-centric services and amenities serving the community and area residents. The provision of this zone allows for large-scale retail that may be inappropriate or infeasible for other areas within the city. Except for the landscaping, the proposed project does meet the minimum development standards, since the applicant is not proposing any exterior modifications. The existing landscape is considered legal non-conforming. The only areas that could be landscaped would eliminate parking spaces. Therefore, it is impractical to meet the landscape requirements and maintain the necessary parking to support the shopping center. The proposed project would utilize the existing structure and does not involve any alterations, as stated previously, and would be categorically exempt for Class 1 existing facilities. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution to approve development application 23-21 for a use permit for a health and fitness facility that is greater than 3,000 square feet in the retail commercial zone. The alternative would be to direct staff to prepare a resolution denying the project with findings or provide alternative direction to staff. And that concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions for staff?
I have one. So in the attachment that was with the agenda items, it kind of went through all the details of the permit, and in section 2 it talked about traffic flow. Is there anybody who can pull that up? Is this the appropriate time to ask this question?
You bet.
Okay.
I do not have that available for the screen.
Okay, so in section 2, item 2, it said fact, and it was discussing the traffic flow for that area, and the assessment was that it meets the traffic requirements. It says that the site has appropriate circulation allowing for public access to parking. And I was just curious if that was just based on analysis of the parking lot, or if that was based on actual measurements and observations based on the time of use for this proposed business.
All of the above. The parking calculation was based off of the existing businesses, and then the applicant also did some studies and spoke to the different businesses within the complex, and it was all indicated that there was ample parking and no traffic flow
issues. So they're aware that west entrance from Grand backs up during peak hours for the two drive-through operations mm-hmm. there, mm-hmm. and so it literally renders that alleyway in very congested.
That's unfortunately this is an existing condition. The use permit itself, the center itself, when we're speaking in that condition, it's the use itself, not necessarily the other uses that are driving that particular condition. And so while it's noted that traffic does back up at times entering into the park, it's an existing condition. And there's no nexus for this particular application, a nexus meaning there's no legal connection for this applicant to fix said intersection that backs up.
And this won't appreciably make that problem worse?
No, based off of the business hours being outside of the peak hours of the other businesses.
Sure. Any other questions?
Yeah, I think it's for staff. You said the property was vacant, but it's full.
Not the property, the unit specific that this applicant is looking to go into.
Okay. Any other questions? Then I will open it up to the public and once again remind the public that they may call in if they wish at 805-321-6639. So I'll open it up to public comment and ask the applicant to come up first if he's here.
Hi, thank you. I wasn't fully prepared to speak, so I don't have a good presentation like the last gentleman. I just thought I should tell you who I am and what we're doing, as Cassandra just reviewed, and then why we're doing it, and answer any questions you guys might have. So my name is David Pitts. I've been a certified personal trainer or sports performance coach for 19 years now. I grew up in the area. I went to Grover Heights Elementary, Judkins, Roy Grandy. I played football at Hancock for 2 years before going off to Oregon and then coming back home, and I've been back home since 2005. Training full-time. I've worked at Kennedy Club Fitness. I manage a text messaging software for gyms and personal trainers around the country. And ultimately, what's pulling me back to doing what I'm trying to do now is really my passion for helping youth athletes realize their potential. And not only that, but more specifically, I believe my value in how I interact with these kids is in building character, in integrity and grit, and just helping them realize how sports could ultimately provide valuable lessons that will help them for the rest of their life. So my goal or objective with this facility is just to have a world-class space where the youth in our area can train and work to accomplish their goals. And that's it.
Okay, very good. Any questions for the applicant? No? Well, thank you for speaking, and it's nice to see somebody who's so passionate about what they want to do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else in the public who would like to speak? Seeing none, is there anyone on the phone who would like to speak?
No, there's not.
No, there's not. We will close the public comment, bring it back to the commission. Are there any comments or discussion? No? Then let's have a motion.
I motion to approve the development application 2321 for a use permit for a health/fitness facility.
Very good. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Very good. May I have a voice vote, please? A roll call vote, please. One of those votes.
Commissioner Hoffman?
Yes.
Commissioner Swift?
Yes.
Vice Chair Holden?
Yes.
And Chair Halverson?
Yes. Thank you. Motion is approved. Thank you very much. We'll move on to commissioners' comments. This is an open forum for us to ask any questions of staff or to discuss anything else we'd like to discuss. Share your observations in the last month of what's going on in the city, whatever. So if anybody would like to speak, go ahead.
I'll just say that I'm glad to be here and glad to be part of this, and I look forward to working with this group, and it's an exciting time in Grover Beach. So
excellent. Thank you. Now you're obligated to say something.
Mm-hmm. True. I was just going to say thank you for such a nice and welcoming first meeting. For me.
All right. You're very welcome. So I guess my only thing to staff, since Mr. Rodman's no longer a part of us, if we can get an update on the hotel construction business, then I will move on to the Community Development Director's report.
Great, and I have that for you. Megan Martin, Community Development Director. So I have several projects and updates for you, the first being 950 El Camino Real. Not sure if you've had the opportunity to drive by, but dirt is moving. Construction has begun. So those permits were issued just a few weeks ago, and we are still at this time waiting on a project schedule or timeline to kind of anticipate when construction will be completed, but at this point in time we're just happy to see dirt moving out on the site. So they're going to move forward with that. Continue to move forward with that. Next, 402 West Grand Avenue, that continues to make progress. We anticipate a start date of construction prior to the end of summer. And immediately across the street from that is 401 West Grand Avenue. Since your last Planning Commission meeting, we have received an application for that construction of a commercial mixed use, so residential as well as commercial down at the bottom pedestrian level. And we are hoping to bring that to your commission in the next couple of months, possibly October. We also are excited to announce that we received another commercial residential mixed-use development application. It's concept review, and that'll come before your planning commission before they submit a formal application. That's 197 West Grand Avenue, and that is the same team that has submitted formal applications for 401 and 402 West Grand. So this is a mixture of residential condominiums, and it also has a commercial component. This is located at the corner of West Grand Avenue and the railroad tracks, directly across from Station Grill.
Okay.
To everybody's, to the elephant in the room, the lodge, very excited to announce that we continue to make strides. Building comments were issued by the state back to the applicant and their design team, and right now we're coordinating with the state and the design team to identify a time to kind of walk through the corrections and what we'd like to see. But we're likely a few months out from them resubmitting to the state at any point in time. Last two more things. The council, something that I felt would be important for your commission to hear about and just kind of have on your radar is the regional housing and infrastructure plan. The council provided policy support for what's known as the HIP, you know how we love our acronyms, to recommit the city to the regional housing compact. And what that essentially does is commits the seven cities and the county, along with partnering with SLOCOG and REACH, to identify specific ways to accelerate housing and link with infrastructure within each of our individual communities. We recognize the importance of maintaining identity while also establishing a regional connection to help solve a very important problem that we faced in this county for years. So that HIP, the Housing and Infrastructure Plan, identifies a number of projects. It's a living document, so those projects are anticipated to change over time as we continue to identify higher priorities with SLOCOG. But that list of infrastructure projects is just kind of the first step. And so council, in a recent meeting, recommitted to that regional housing regional housing compact, as well as committed to the housing and infrastructure plan, and we're hoping that that's going to enable a lot more housing opportunities, which means that your commission will continue to do great work and serve the community as we bring more of these projects forward. And then lastly, not sure if you've had an opportunity to attend. I attended my first one just this last Saturday, but the summer concert series has been absolutely successful this summer. Needless to say, this last one, we shared the city booth with several of us. We ended up counting and estimating almost 2,300 people were in attendance at this last Sunday concert. So really exciting that continues to grow, and that we continue to support the community and provide activities for our residents and for visitors. There were actually a lot of people from outside the area as well that I spoke with, so it was nice to experience that. And with that, those are my updates, unless you have any specific questions for me on any other projects in the community. Thank you.
I don't. Does anybody else have any questions?
I do. I haven't heard anything about the Cleaver property project lately.
Great. Thank you. I actually spoke with the project manager for Cleaver and Clark Commons this morning. So they successfully received their tax credits as of yesterday. So we will be moving forward with the PLHA grant contract agreement. And so what that means is that there's a series of steps that have to come into place associated with the $5 million grant that they were awarded as a part of the PLHA. And now that they have those tax credits, that can move forward. So we'll continue to work closely with them. My understanding is that they have a commitment to begin construction by January of 2024.
Thank you.
Any other questions for our staff? All right, very good then. Thank you. With that, no further business before the commission. I adjourn this meeting at 6:49.